Well, good morning, everyone. Isn't it wonderful to be here this morning, to be able to join together in person? And we also acknowledge everyone who's joining us remotely and are thankful that they're able to do that as well. So everyone's welcome, and we appreciate you all being with us in whatever way you can be. We've come together to meet with God, to express our fellowship in the Lord Jesus, and to take our part in the building of his church. We will praise him and thank him for his goodness towards us, hear from his holy word, and pray for the world and for ourselves. So I'm going to open our time together with a word of prayer, so please pray with me. God our Father, we pray that the message of your Son will dwell richly among us as we teach and admonish one another with the wisdom you give and sing with thankfulness in our hearts to you. And whatever we do, in word or deed, may it be done in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and for his glory. Amen. Amen. So we're continuing our series of being certain of the things you have been taught, working through the book of Luke, and today we'll hear of the day when Jesus taught in the synagogue in Nazareth with all of God's authority, and how he showed himself to be God's chosen one to bring freedom and release for everyone. So as we start our service together, let's stand and say the words of Psalm 113 to praise the Lord our God together. So together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? Thanks, everyone. So please remain standing. And we're now going to lift up our hearts to God in singing and rejoice before him. So let's, while we're staying COVID safe with our masks on, sing, Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Thank you.
please remain standing? And we've come together as the Church of God to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, to encourage one another to hold fast to the hope he has given us, and to spur each other on to love and good deeds. So let's do that now by joining together in the words of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So we're going to hear from God's word now, and Max is going to come up and do the reading for us in a moment, so I'll pray for us as Max does that. Gracious God, your word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, when we hear your voice, deliver us from hardness of heart. Help us to put away everything that keeps us from persevering in your way, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Max.
Good morning, everyone. Nadia sends her regards from Canberra. We were there for a month, so she says hello to everybody she knows. Yeah. Okay, today's reading is from Luke 4, 14 to 30. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's times, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there were 7 severe famines throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when he heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church. And for those listening in, a special welcome to you too. Could you just turn again to the people nearby you and just say good morning? Welcome to church. It's good to note that we're all together here. The Lord be with you and also with you. If there are anyone listening in or visiting us today, a very special welcome to you and to our children outside listening in as well too. For those of you listening in, you would not have seen, but I've just put in front of the congregation, I've moved up one of our rather large chairs just as a visual aid for us this morning, which will be made a little bit obvious as we get into the sermon itself. Well, turn with me, will you, in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 14. So open up your Bibles or to the handout that's inside your news and notes and to verse 14 of chapter 4. Today we pick up from where we left off last week. In the previous chapter, we've read Jesus is no longer a child, but a grown man of 30. That's the reason why our manger is still in the church vicinity here at the end of the aisle, empty of a baby, to remind us that Jesus didn't stay a child, but grew up to be a man and to the cross. Jesus has identified with mankind as one of us by being baptized. The Spirit of God has come upon him to endorse, empower, and equip him for ministry. And it was confirmed to Jesus and to those listening in by a voice from heaven that despite what the people might have thought about Jesus, that he was Joseph's son, Jesus is the Son of God, whom God loves and is well pleased with. Luke has added a genealogy for his readers to confirm this likewise. Full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was then led into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. In his three temptations, Jesus was tempted to doubt his sonship, to doubt his authority from God, and to doubt the faithfulness of God the Father's love for him, knowing what was before him to save a lost mankind in the eyes of God by putting God, his Father, to the test. Resisting all, Jesus, right from the very beginning of his ministry, was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin, without giving in. And the reason being is that we might have the certainty and assurance that the one who has come to save lost mankind has the credentials to do so. And all that is still to come was the reason why Luke gives for the writing of his gospel, right from the very beginning. You remember there in verse 4 of chapter 1, remember, so that you and I may be certain of the things we have been taught. The things that we have been taught regarding Jesus from God's word, the Bible. And today, that yes, Jesus came with all authority, all of God's authority, just as God had foretold in the past through the prophets. So look there now at verse 14 where we pick it up from here. We have the beginning here of the recording of Jesus' public ministry. And in a way, the verses before us this morning through to verse 30 are a kind of a summary of Jesus' ministry despite how it will be received by people. The Apostle John, in the beginning of his Gospel, puts it in these words, our sentence of Scripture for today from John 1, verses 11 and 12, that Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own received him not. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So we pick it up at verse 14 and 15 of chapter 4. Some time has passed, most likely a few months. Jesus has returned to Galilee, a region west of the Jordan River, where he was born and grown up now, and news about him has spread through the whole countryside, most likely because he's been visiting and teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him, Luke tells us. Local boy, doing good, returns home, come hear him preach this Sabbath. So that's the kind of picture that we have. But chiefly, the reason why word has been known about Jesus is again because Luke has reminded us about the work of the Spirit. Verse 14 there, in the power of the Spirit. Remember, the reason why Luke brings up about the Spirit in his Gospel and in the Acts of the Apostles is to remind his readers that this is all God's doing. This is God's enabling. This is God's endorsing. This is God's equipping, empowering. Luke is reminding us that Jesus' ministry, all that Jesus is doing, will do, and has done, is God's doing through him and has God's approval. And everyone, we read here, praised him. Well, the word is actually thought well of him. But would that be characteristic of Jesus' ministry into the future? Verse 16, look with me there. Come with me. We read, he, Jesus, went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I don't know if you know this, but what we have here before us in Luke's gospel is one of the earliest recordings of a synagogue meeting. I've never been to a synagogue meeting. I've been around a synagogue and know of people who go to a synagogue, many Jews that go, but I've never been into a synagogue meeting. The standing up to read the scriptures being at that time what we know as the Old Testament, they were not in book form as we know it today, but on scrolls. They were handed to those who would read them. The reader would unroll them to the place where they would choose to speak from, as Jesus did. Not too unlike what we do in church as well, which the early church picked up on, how the synagogue met. And then, unlike today, the reader and preacher of the scriptures would sit down to preach from the scriptures chosen. I guess today we get our preachers to stand, as you've got me to do, so as to make sure that we don't get too comfortable and preach for too long or fall asleep at the pew, at the lectern. But there was a symbolism and a significance in the preacher sitting as they brought the word of God to the congregation. It was not to be understood as the end of what was said, and that now Jesus was sitting down, that's it, all over, but the very beginning of his preaching as they brought the word of God to the congregation. So this would be the habit of the preacher. They sit and everyone's eyes is fixed, everyone's ears listening, for the word to begin. And as you can see there in verse 19, I think it says it was they actually were there as he began to speak. Today, in your hearing, the scripture is fulfilled. It was not to be understood at the end of what was to be said, but the very beginning, to get ready for what you were about to hear. Verse 20, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began his preaching by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I don't know if some of you would remember Archbishop Donald Robinson. Some of you may remember him well. He was the bishop who ordained me in my early days. I remember on our first weeks of being ordained as deacons, Donald, the Archbishop, took us to the chapel in at Bishop's Court, and he sat down and he preached to us from the Word of God. Sitting in the preacher's chair was a sign of the authority of what was being read and preached and of the one preaching. And sitting was also a reminder of the finality and completion of the work done that was read. In regards to the scriptures, the finality, completion, and authority of God's work done. We hear ourselves say it in the Creed, as we did this morning. On the third day, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, etc. Seated is a symbolism and significance of completed work. Standing is a symbol and significance of an ongoing work of God in the life of his people. So you'll remember that when Stephen is being stoned, remember, for his faith before there, what did he see Jesus doing up in heaven? Is the heavens open? He saw Jesus standing there before, upholding. And as we sang in one of the songs, one of the songs, we'll remind ourselves of that too, of Jesus' ongoing ministry. But seated is saying, Jesus is saying here, sitting in the preacher's chair was a sign of his authority regarding what was being read and preached and of the one preaching. And we read it again, what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. We hear that word anointing, setting aside, empowering, equipping, enabling, to proclaim good news, the gospel, to the poor, to those who are without. Not just talking about here money, we're talking about here poor in spirit, poor with God, lost with God. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to those who are captive by the slavery of sin, prisoners, and recovery of the sight to the blind, healing the sick and exercising his authority over all aspects, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim my presence here, Jesus is saying in himself as he's speaking here, to proclaim this is the year of the Lord's favor to the world by his presence being there. And some commentators actually say that it was a year of the Jubilee at the time when it was time when all sins were forgiven and debts paid, released. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus is saying, I have come with all God's authority. And the people would see it. They would realize it in his ministry to a lost, to save lost mankind. And we read in verse 22, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. But isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. The scene here is one, imagine being a fly on the wall. The scene here is one of what are we witnessing here? This is astonishing. This is amazing. Astonishment would be the thing. Puzzlement. These are messianic words that Joseph's son, this Jesus, is saying. But isn't this Joseph's son? In a way, the penny is dropping, but they can't get their heads around it. This is wonderful news for God's people on the one hand, and it was. But for them, God's people, it was for the Jews. So it was wonderful news for them. And Jesus, however, had come with all God's authority to save all of lost mankind, both Jew and non-Jew, you and me. And with reference to God's work in the past through the prophets, verse 23 to 27, towards those who were not Jews, this has always been God's way. From Abram right through, blessed to be a blessing to all nations. This has always been God's way, as was their reaction then to that, as it would be now for them, to his ministry. Verse 28, look how they respond. All the people in the synagogue were furious. They weren't just disappointed, all right? They were furious. When they heard this, they got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off a cliff. It's interesting that what the devil could not do, the people now try to do. And the occasion ends with us being left by Luke here, without a doubt, certain of what we have been taught, that yes, despite the reactions of people to Jesus' ministry, to God's work of saving all of the lost mankind, both Jew and Gentile, Jesus has come with all God's authority to do so. Look there at verse 30. Luke records, but he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. And it's important for us to remember, where was Jesus going? To the cross, to the resurrection, for you and for me, to save you and me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you have so caused to be written in Luke's gospel, regarding the authority of your Son, our Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you that you have granted to him all authority in heaven and on earth, all authority to so save lost mankind. Us here at Abbotsford Anglican, and all those who are listening in, and all those who repent and believe this good news. Father God, we thank you for this assurance. We thank you for the certainty of the things that we have been taught, that we might have this assurance. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
It is Jesus with all of his authority from the Father that we come before now. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart and full assurance of faith and pray together this prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed once and for all to bear the sins of many. God therefore forgives those who look to his Son for mercy. Amen. We're going to join again in singing, so please stand, come and praise and glorify our God with our next song, Come Praise and Glorify. Join together now in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Fiona's going to come and lead us now in a time of general prayers.
Alleluia. What a saviour. We beg, Father, that your spirit would work deeply in our spirits. May your Holy Spirit enable us to have a deeper experience of Jesus' love for each one of us. Enable us to have an unshakable confidence that Jesus has indeed come with all your authority. Authority over things seen, authority over things unseen, authority over things in the present, authority over things in the future. Only because of Jesus' resurrection can we rejoice in glorious hope. We praise and thank you, God, that Jesus has busted death apart, and only because of our wonderful Saviour can we come in to your beautiful presence. Thank you that Jesus keeps interceding for each person present or listening into this service. Help us to do all for Jesus, and we pray this in his name. Amen. Loving Father, we pray for your world. You know many different things that are happening. None of it is a surprise to you. We pray for your mercy in the unrest with Russia and Ukraine. May world leaders have deep wisdom in responding. Father, for those world leaders who do know you, we ask that you would keep growing their faith and that they would lead in a way that brings you glory. We're also very aware that there are many leaders who do not know you yet. And we long, Lord, that you would do whatever it takes for them to see and love King Jesus. Father, we continue to pray for many troubled areas which are stuck in years of instability and trauma, but don't make the news headlines anymore. The Middle East and other areas. We pray you would stay the hand of evil and grow your kingdom. We also pray for the upcoming Beijing Winter Olympics, that this would be a unifying event. And we thank you, Lord, for the skills and gifts you've given all of those competing. And we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving Father, we pray for your church. It can seem to us so very small and weak, and we long that you would help us keep your eternal perspective. We worship you, whose intent is that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Father, thank you for including us in this plan and for your kindness with that. Lord, we pray for our Archbishop Kanishka and pray, Lord, that you would continue to open his lips, that his mouth would declare your praise. We pray for our Bishop Michael Stead, and we thank and praise you, Father, that you have gifted him in many ways, and pray that he would serve with joy and in humility. We give you thanks and praise you, Father, for Trevor and for Karen, and pray, Lord, that they would continue to serve in ways that depend on you and bring you great glory. Father, we give you thanks and praise for all Anglican chaplains in schools, in hospitals, in the defence forces, in the police force, and in prisons. We also raise up to you SRE teachers, those working with refugees, the Retindando and Blair families. We thank you, Lord, for the Thomases and their faithful service in Thailand, and for the Pharisees in Kununurra and Kim further afield in Ireland. We long, Lord, that they would proclaim and live your gracious words faithfully. May they delight in daily times with you. May they discern your leading and delight to obey. We praise you, Father, you do not ask them to do anything you haven't done already. And pray that you would work mightily through them for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A set prayer for the day. Lord our God, help us day by day to love you with all our hearts and to love all people as you love them, not just those who are easy to love. Father, we can't do this on our own strength, and we pray that you would grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Fiona. So a number of things to draw your attention to. So yesterday morning, the men got together for the first men's event of the year. So Trevor put on a fantastic cooked breakfast, as you can imagine. So he's making sure that we maintain our trim, taut body figures in the way that we've become accustomed. But we had a good number of men there and a nice time of fellowship together. And Trevor led us in a little devotional. So the men are going to be getting together once a month through the year for a breakfast 1 month, then a fun event another month, and then a dinner the third month, and then cycling like that. So if you weren't able to join us, please feel free to come along next time, and it'd be great to see everyone there. The women are getting together as well, so the first women's event of the year is going to be at the back end of February, leveraging a seminar from Mothers Union. So it's on Friday the 25th of February, starting at 10 o'clock. The event will be live streamed, and Karen's plan is to live stream it from here at church, rather than going into the cathedral. And three excellent speakers. She may have wanted me particularly just to let you know the speakers are superb. So Joe Gibbs, Rob Smith and Jenny Brown. Joe's speaking on the God we know, Rob on Have I the Right to Be Who I Am, and Jenny Brown speaking on When Dreams Are Broken in the Family. So let me commend that to you, and if you'd like to let Karen know if you're wanting to come along, she'd love to hear that from you in due course. In terms of the church offertory, thank you so much to everyone who gives financially for the work of the parish. Of course, we're self-sufficient financially and reliant on the money that each of us give each week or month. Just let the traffic pass. And so a lot of us give money by direct debit, but there's still an offertory box at the back if you want to use that for your regular giving to the church. And in terms of regular activity of the church, there's always a chance to pray together at the front after the service. And today I think it's Tony and Coral who are down to help if anyone wants individual prayer for a matter on your heart or mind. They'd love to do that with you and for you. And then our regular church prayer meeting is in 8 days' time, so the first Monday of each month, here in the church foyer, starting at 7 o'clock. And it's a lovely time of both fellowship and prayer coming before God together. And so it would be lovely to see you there if you're able to join us for that. In terms of the pandemic, of course, we're still needing to maintain our COVID safety. So thank you, everyone, for wearing their masks when you join us in person. And then after church, if you can get your morning tea and then stand outside, that would be more appropriate than mingling in the foyer. So if we can just help each other that way, we do this to show love and care for each other, and just take your cup of tea or coffee and enjoy each other's company out in the playground. That'd be appreciated. So thank you all very much. And we're going to sing our last song now. And God takes his word out to the whole earth, and all people are called by him, and he holds the whole of creation together. So let's finish today with a song that acknowledges our God as the author of creation and the Lord of everyone. So please stand, and we'll sing together Across the Lands.
stood, yet how silently you suffered, that the guilty may go free.
Service for us now. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so serve God in a way that is pleasing to Him with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you, everyone, and I hope you have a lovely week ahead.